Let's bring to order the October 18th, 2010 meeting of the Open Space Advisory Committee. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum with Mr. Riddell and Dr. Fisher not being able to attend this evening. So we are on our way with a quorum. Is there any citizen comments on any non-agendized items? Okay. Approval of minutes, we have two sets. The 16th, we had an opportunity to look at those.
I wasn't here on the 16th, but I did notice that you started the meeting 34 seconds early.
Well, you know, Mr. Scott, we try to be efficient. We don't want Kath to have to be here all night listening to you.
Many benefits to that, yeah.
Okay, so.
Somebody who was here on the August meeting.
Go ahead.
Move to approve the minutes of the August 16 meeting.
I'll second.
Moved and seconded. Any comments, changes, deletions? Not on the motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
I'll move to approve the minutes of September 27th.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any comments? Any further comments?
It reads like a nice novel.
Well, actually, I'm sure that there are those who believe it has been going on long enough to have been a screenplay. So, okay. On the motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Modification of the agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask you if we could take the very last item, F, first, in order to, we can send Mrs. Palmer home. The item will be relatively quick, very quick.
Okay, and I will let everyone know I happen to work for the entity that is donating them. So I'm going to not participate in this in any way. And Ms. Palmer, would you like come up? Dan, tag, you're it.
All right. Thanks.
Hi, Dorothy.
Hi. For the record, my name is Dorothy Timian Palmer, and I'm the president of Vidler Water Company. And I'm here today to provide you a gift deed for 37 acres of wetlands and floodplain that you now have a trail that connects. Vidler Water Company also constructed the trail with the assistance of Carson City. And that's why I'm here today.
Thank you very much. And on behalf of Open Space and the citizens of Carson City, thank you for that great donation.
Well, I'm fortunate to work for PECO Holdings. PECO Holdings is, Vidler Water Company is a subsidiary of PECO Holdings. And PECO Holdings really does believe in public-private partnerships and how they both can work. And Vidler Water Company is going to benefit from this situation because we have water rights and four lots, and we're going to do quite well when the real estate market comes back, and it's beautiful, backed up by beautiful open space. And I am especially fortunate because I got to work for Carson City for 10 years. And if Carson City hadn't hired me, I would have never gone to work for Pico Holdings. So I owe a lot to Carson City.
Well, thank you again. Yeah, we owe a lot to you and Vidler. You know, as you know, having been a resident of this community for many, many years, one of our top priorities for acquiring open space and ensuring public access has been along the river. And this is a key piece that connects two pieces of existing public land, city-owned public land, and then also connects to land managed by the BLM that will soon become city land. So, you know, it's a real key piece, and, you know, with the trail, it's going to be a great amenity. And I personally want to thank you, and again, on behalf of Open Space, thanks. And I'm sure some of our members have a few words.
Dorothy, this is a wonderful addition to Carson, and we spend quite a bit of time down along the river, living just above it, and riding and walking. This is a critical linkage piece, and obviously an engineer didn't design this trail.
Because it's not straight.
But, but it is just a wonderful addition, and thank you so much for all of your consideration of Carson. You know, Vidler has been there for Carson in a number of ways consistently, and that is really appreciated, not just the open space, but this is a great example of some of the other things that you've also done. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good.
All right. So I'm going to turn this back over to the...
But I would move that we recommend the board accept this.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Do we have any public comment on this item? Seeing none, we'll take a vote.
Before you call for the question, yes. I'd like to know for the record that the second paragraph of the deed, grantor meeting Vidler Water Company, out of love and affection for grantee, and I'd like to point out that this is the first donation that we receive with love and affection. Make it even more special, Dorothy. Thank you.
That is very special. Yeah. Thanks for noting that one.
Yeah.
So,
bye, Dee.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? All right. We have a donated piece of riverland. Thanks.
There is a public nuisance on their property that I think is being managed by the city at this point. I'm not sure. Piles of dirt, refuse, debris, that sort of thing.
All kinds of things, yeah.
Yeah, that I think belongs to the utilities division. So, okay. Mr. Guzman, item A.
Item 3A is an action to recommend to the board supervisors regarding the carryovers for the 2010-11 fiscal budget for the Quality of Life Open Space Division program. And I have a... giving you way too much information, so I'm sorry about that. But if you follow the, so what I did about that is give you even more information. And if you follow this page, this all of a sudden becomes more clear. So the carryovers are the funds that we have to recommend to the board to be established by account for our next, for operation of our next fiscal year. Again, if you follow this page, what happens is that the areas in red, which include Horse Creek, Fuels Reduction, Equestrian Bridge, USDA, USDA, and Fullstone, are all grants. So I will hope that you agree with staff that we don't need to put any more money into grants. It's what we got, and we're fine with that. Then the other accounts that are in black are really the projects and the accounts that we have that we use for projects, and those are the ones where we have placed monies. So if you want to see the first column, fiscal year 2011, has the present monies that we have into those accounts compare with what we have last year. So give you an idea of what we have increased. I'd like to highlight that with our increases, our acquisition account is up to $4 million. The fuels account is, or the fire suppression fuels, that is one of the accounts that you authorized last time around, is at maintained at the 100,000 level, while the maintenance account goes up. Actually, we spend some money, but it's maintained at 317,000, and it's one of the accounts that we expect to use the most. The other area where we place more money was on the professional services. Those are contracts for surveyors and very specialized services. And the reason that we increased that amount, that account, is because we found last year that we were spending more than we had anticipated. We put a little bit of money, again, into the travel account, and that is because we need to travel to Las Vegas, for example, to participate in the Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act grant, or because we want to hold a seminar like the one that is coming up a week from now or this week, later on this week, Thursday. So that's why that account is in there. That was in zero the prior budget. If you disagree, if you would like monies to move differently, now is the time to let us know what would you like to do. The overall budget is for $5,715 million, but again, that includes grants and every penny that we ever had. So the monies that we get to play around with, be patient now, it's a complicated formula, but it's just in general, is that what we estimated about 120,000 was what we really had to, that we can reallocate. There are certain accounts like salaries and the internal service charge, which Bruce went down, by the way. Yeah, I know that you will be pleased. You would like it to see even less, but. Yeah, we have the Joel costs less than Kristen. So that account, those charges went down. And in case you are interested in terms of salaries, what do we cover? We still cover a percentage of Roger's salary. We don't charge anything for Scott Farnbrook, which is the guy who maintains the properties. In the future, that's likely to change. We pay for a little bit for Stella and Daria. And what I mean a little bit is like 5%. 10%, those kind of charges. Any questions, any comments? Yeah.
One on the salaries, wages, and benefits on the expenses. The open space amounts for the 2011-2010 budgets are quite a bit higher for open space than they are for park capital. Is that because park capital gets part of its salaries benefits from other sources?
Sure.
I'll take a stab at that. That is correct. The parks capital, well, the general fund funds most of the park salaries, and then some of the funds are also allocated to the Question 18 parks capital. And there are some other funding sources, residential construction tax, and some other sources like that that we also allocate out towards the, you know, for park maintenance staff and administrative, park recreation administrative and maintenance staff. The other thing, too, is it's open space is the only Question 18 account and the only other non-general fund account that has actually 100% of two employees, and that, of course, is one salary and salary. 100% of those come out of open space, Question 18 open space. So that's why it's higher in capital.
Can we put them under part of capital?
Well, we probably could, but we don't. You're welcome.
One on this handout that you left here tonight, 3A, the red highlighted items regarding NRCS grants, is that open spaces matching part of the grant? Is that what we're contributing?
No, those are 100% grants, and we need to account for them because the money comes to it. So NRCS is providing the total figure that you see in there. And tells me that there's even more. But and the chairman in the past have asked, well, those are drainage items. What happened is that after we got involved with the rehabilitation of the fire, the city got used to us, meaning open space, handling the grants with NRCS. And we have continued that. Actually, NRCS staff talks to us about these grants, and we're responsible for them. We work very closely to Rob Fellows, who is the flood manager for the city, in terms of developing projects for these areas. Did that answer your question?
If I could just add to that a little bit, so those are really kind of pass through accounts. So you know, in really in theory, it doesn't make a difference really what account that those are assigned to. And as Juan I think mentioned, we're gradually shifting a lot of that responsibility over to Public Works as far as the completion of those projects.
Okay. Any other questions? Comments? I think it pretty well is tracking through with.
Yeah, there is a park capital bridge that's needed now to connect the property that's being donated. Yeah.
I have a comment regarding that, but you know, there's a parks director, and he has in grant. Restriction until we can demonstrate that we can finish the ones that we use, the ones that we have.
It's an aside, and I apologize to the committee just for one brief digression. It would be nice to get a temporary bridge of some kind over there if it's possible, not the ultimate, but just so the linkage is there. That would be really nice.
We're working on Mayweather Crossing, and what is funny about that is that I took the bus, I go to the site, I come back, I tell Roger, he's dry as a bone, he has been dry for a month now, we can go and do it. And he comes, as soon as I say that, start raining, and it rained for a week. We go back and bring him back a picture, it's at the flood stage, and he says, didn't you tell me that it was dry and we could do a crossing right now? I said, well, yeah, you know, it would. Hopefully we'll dry again any day now. So, yeah, that is in the makings to a temporary crossing or a great crossing. Any other questions?
I don't think so. You'll deal with your 404 permit when you get to that, unless you can get a categorical exclusion on that. So, yeah, they should, actually. Okay. Is there any more questions or any more motions?
Yeah, I'll move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the carryovers as noted in the board packet.
Second?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further comments? Actually, the colored copy with the red was much more helpful to understand the grant side of the equation. So good job. I'm sure Ann thought of that.
You are absolutely correct.
I knew I would be.
I have just one comment. I normally find it difficult to look at all these budget sheets, and so I would have spent the whole weekend looking at them, except that the packets weren't ready till Friday, I think, and I didn't get notification maybe Thursday afternoon, but I left on Thursday morning to be on business in Pleasanton, so I apologize for being unprepared.
Cool. Okay, and just the boss and I were talking about that, and that we are committed to do it through email. So I don't know how soon, but we're going to implement that. So that will be easier to access for people who travel.
Since you can't get here from the west side of town anymore, that would be helpful.
lot of zingers going out tonight. That is unusual. True, but unusual. Okay. Any comment? You haven't had the pleasure of reading all these pages of columns and numbers, but it it does track. So anyway, there being no public comment, do we have a motion? And do we had a second, and that's it. I'm forgetting. So it's early. Okay. On the motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. B.
Mr. Chairman, item 3B is an action to authorize you to sign a letter directed to the Regional Transportation Commission and Board Supervisors on behalf of the Open Space Advisory Committee, expressing the importance of maintaining public access on Old Clear Creek Road and into the adjacent public lands. Last month, or sometime in the past, we continue this item, or the committee continue this item, in order to change the language. Meanwhile, you revised the language, and I believe it was distributed to all the members of the committee through email also. We also made it part of the packet, and we haven't received any comments other than I received a comment personally from Howard Riddle, and that was that in his opinion that the letter was acceptable to him and that it reflects the sentiments that he wanted expressed. The person who moved for continuance was Tricia. So do you have any other comments, Tricia, regarding the letter?
I find it mostly acceptable with just a couple of comments, because I think it was written by a lawyer and it's a little wordy. And I would just say in the second paragraph where it says we have received testimony from the landowners in the Clear Creek area as well as members of the public who have recreated on Clear Creek Road, and where you have as well as, I would simply like it to say, and the areas generally to the west of the terminus of Old Clear Creek Road, as well as in twice in one sentence is not even legal, I don't think, but anyway. And then I have a question. Yes, at least. In the third paragraph, the first sentence doesn't work for me, and I'm not sure if it's legalese or if it's just poorly written, so I wanted you to clarify that.
Okay, what do you want to know?
Well, on behalf of the Open Space Advisory Committee, please respectfully accept the position of this advisory board that you continue to protect the rights of the private property owners, but fashion a resolution that securing the private property rights of the landowners and not placing any legal liability on these owners, which does not exclude the community from public access, doesn't finish.
Behind advisory board?
Mm-hmm. Behind fashion a resolution, eliminate that. So it'd be the fashion a resolution, so okay. The private property rights.
Thank you.
Done. Okay. It's still too long,
that's
the sentence.
Good.
You're right.
Otherwise, I'm happier with this. I think it does give more weight to the private property owners' concerns and rights.
Okay.
Just a housekeeping.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. I just cut that. Okay, Bruce.
There was an interesting letter to the editor last week in the paper regarding this subject. And with that observation, I will recommend that the chairman be authorized to sign this and send it forward to the board.
Is there any public comment on this? There's Dean. Please, if you've got some thoughts, come on up. It's okay, we don't bite, and we appreciate the fact that you showed up. Thanks.
My name is Lee Elson. I apologize because I've come into this process late, and I'm sure that I'm speaking partially from ignorance here, and I have not seen the letter, so I'm really am speaking from ignorance. But just on the basis of what I was told by somebody who was at the last meeting, I'm wondering whether the question of the property rights of the Clear Creek property owners and they're concerned about liability have been addressed to any extent or discussed in the context of Nevada's recreational use statute and whether or not this information has been known to them and whether it folds into your recommendations or any of that sort of thing. So
I believe that we had some discussion both tangentially at the last meeting, the last public meeting, but we've also had it with discussion with staff, particularly with the DA's office. Excuse me. And I think that it does place issues on the table. But the problem, frankly, with Clear Creek Road is it's such an amalgamation of issues. You have some deeded easements. You have some that have been basically returned in one fashion or another back to the adjoining landowners. You have those that were dedicated by parcel maps. So it's not a very clear picture in which any given thing applies. I believe that there is some benefit to that statute. The problem is that I don't believe most of the homeowners up there take any great solace in the fact that they're still have the potential of being a named defendant. And I think that's where hopefully the city can come to some middle ground. And it's not an easy, this is a very difficult issue, that we're not doing the board any great favors by kicking this up to them. But it's an issue that's been out there for a long time, and they're going to have to sit down and do a deal. If they can't get somebody to fix a road in an acceptable fashion, then they've got to go, because otherwise those homeowners are at risk. And I think that's kind of the bottom line, is when it's all said and done, you know, somebody's got to stand up for them. And I think that's a big piece that's missing, you know, that the chance and the off chance that they may be able to prevail doesn't preclude them from a lengthy court battle and attorney's fees. And I think.
Right. I guess the reason that this occurred to me is that I think every state in the United States has a recreational use statute, and they are designed, seems to me, just for this particular situation where the landowner is worried about liability and the public is worried about access. And I understand that there are a lot of different entities, and it's right on the border between Douglas and Carson. And I totally sympathize with the property owners because they have no motivation for assuming liability when there's nothing to be gained for them. So, but it seems to me that if the liability issue can be resolved, that's I realize that's only one of the problems here. But if that problem can be resolved, it may be that the two parties can, the two groups can reach an understanding on some of the other ones also. So
I'm the one who made them rewrite the letter because I really think the private property owners have a big problem there. But I need to tell you that this has been simmering at this committee level for so long, and I think Howard said something really important at our last meeting, and that is we need to take action and move it up because we are not at this level able to make those decisions and do the legal research. It's really not our job. And so by writing this letter to the supervisors, we're not doing them any favors, but we've got to move it along or it's just going to stay here simmering another month, 2 months, year, who knows?
Yes, I totally agree.
And I do think it is a very peculiar situation. Most of the recreational statutes deal with a lot more clear-cut circumstances than we have in this one. The parcel maps, the abandonment, the nature of the road, the maintenance issue, there are multiple things that enter into this discussion. Do I think there's a solution that can be done? Yeah, but it's going to take a lot of money because I think somebody's going to have to pony up a lot of dough to fix a road.
And I think lots of times money is really the sticking point, and it seems to be the case here. So
yeah, but thank you. We do appreciate you taking the time to come down. It's so seldom anybody comes to see us. Bruce?
You know, in many ways, I think it is kind of kicking it upstairs, but I believe we owe the RTC and the Board of Supervisors a specific expression of our interest and concern over balancing the maintenance of access with the property rights. And I think it's appropriate that we go forward with this letter and give them, in effect, a general request. And we've had hearings and had people here, and I think the benefit of that is part of what we're transmitting.
Any other public comment? Okay. You were in the process of motioning.
Yeah, I would move that we approve this letter as modified for the chairman to execute and to be provided to the Carson City Board of Supervisors and the Regional Transportation Commission.
Second.
Any comments on the motion? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Okay.
Item C, Mr. Chairman, is an action to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the issuance of a letter of recommendation regarding the Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act nomination for the U.S. Forest Service to purchase 320 acres of land owned by High Canyon Tahoe LLC, located within the Carson Range. And we have some beautiful pictures to show you. And also in the audience, are Dominique Echegoyen and Jock Echegoyen, and I let you tell which one is which, or guess. And they are the parties trying to advance this nomination on behalf of the property owners. The Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act requires that counties be notified. They would like to do more than that. In addition to having notification, they would like to have specifically their a letter of support. Let me show you where the properties are located to begin with. This is Highway 395, Highway 50 going to the desert, Highway 50 going to Lake Tahoe. This is Snowy Valley Peak, just around this area. And precisely these four polygons are the ones that we're talking about. To say that they're remote is to put it mildly. We walk for a ways to get there and in the vicinity. This is just from the north of the property, looking at it to the south and to the west at the same time. And right in there are the property lines, and then further out into Carson City. The best way of describing it to you is that three of the properties drain into the main drainage of Clear Creek, while one of them drains towards Horse Creek Ranch, or the main stem of that feeds Horse Creek Ranch, and also the secondary stem of Clear Creek. Very scenic property. And you know what? Let the Dominica or Jock come forward and talk to you more about the property. You want to? Oh, cheap. Just tell her. Okay. She'll click for you.
Well, as Juan said, this is on the northern boundary of the most northwestern property. We're actually on the property at this point, looking diagonally to the south of those furthest northernmost two parcels.
Are you Dominique or Jock?
I am Dominique Echegoyen. Thank you, Juan, for clarifying. Go ahead to the next slide. This is simply what Juan has already shown us, which is where these 320 acres are located. This is an inholding within the U.S. Forest Service, and you can see that furthest northwestern boundary is only approximately one quarter of a mile outside of the Lake Tahoe Basin Management Area. There is a ridge that keeps the water from flowing into Tahoe, and it does flow down to the Clear Creek, but you can see over that ridge and get some of these tremendous views from all four of the parcels. Here we're looking down that ridge that divides the Tahoe Basin from the Clear Creek watershed. And they're not just grand views, but there are tremendous smaller details as well that make it a beautiful place. You can look across and see into Emerald Bay. And to the left, it's hard to see in this photo, you can actually see a little bit of a shimmer on top of Cascade Lake just to the left of Emerald Bay. That actually makes it a little easier to see. Yeah, it's right in there. And then the next photo, you can actually see the top of Fallen Leaf Lake. So the views are breathtaking. As we said, this is located in the Clear Creek watershed, so there's another image that shows you the watershed and where these particular parcels are located, with the headwaters of the Clear Creek right on those northwestern parcels.
Thank you, Joe. Horse Creek is this property. This is the piece that Carson City owns fee title, and this is, and the conservation easement is in this piece.
And this is looking down from another angle onto the property, where right there is where the Clear Creek begins, and this is the property itself. The upper 160 acres is about here, and the lower 160 acres encompasses that ridge on both sides, and it drops down the other way. We'll see photos of it later. Another angle again of the where the creek is. And it's a fairly lush area down near the creek, and it does have some significant timber coverage as well. So, you know, Snow Valley Peak itself is around 9,000 feet. This is over 8,000, but probably about 8,400, I'm guessing, when you're down at the bottom. I'm not sure about this point here. That point is probably the highest point on the property, but that point itself is lower than Snow Valley Peak, so it's 8,800, but not 9,000. You can look, and obviously you can see along the whole Carson Range crest, looking at Job's Peak, Job's Sister, and Friel Peak. And then you can also look down into Carson Valley and Carson City, and right here would be Horse Creek. And there's a zoomed-in version of it, so you can see how it's fairly close to the property we've already protected. And no buts about it. Juan Guzman will go to all lengths to show the importance of a property and show that this is in the Carson City viewshed, this ridge right here that we're on. And these are the images he was taking, so you can see Carson City. This is an important area for your view. There's not much words can add. It's a breathtaking property, and it's unique. If you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Anyone? Bruce?
Yeah, maybe, Juan, you're going to get into it. Just with regard to the nomination in the sense of where the Southern Nevada, you know, Land Act sits right now, given the current economic situation.
Yeah, it's tough. There are not a large amount of funds available. But each round, we've seen certain projects unfortunately fail, and those previous allocations have often come back into that fund, and we're never sure when that's going to happen. We're told that there isn't a lot available right now. But unfortunately, we know of a couple projects that may be close to failure, and there could be significant funds, so we always want to be poised and ready to take advantage of those opportunities.
Something that I forgot to mention when I brought this as an agenda item for potential discussion, the chairman right away asked me, Are we competing with ourselves? And I forgot to mention that as part of our presentation. And the answer is no. We don't have any of our Carson City nominations is a competition with this property. So that is also further information in favor of supporting this nomination.
And I should point out that we are specifically applying for SNPLMA, Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act funds. And however, FLTFA was extended by the president, albeit late. So the funds that were in the FLTFA account did transfer to the Land and Water Conservation Fund. There are ongoing efforts to have those funds transferred back into the FLTFA account. And this is a property that would be able to take advantage of either one of those funding sources, but it's the same nomination process. We're just not sure what the status of FLTFA will be in the future.
Juan, it appears that the location of these parcels fits with the overall strategy in the Carson City Landsville, where the upper parts of the watershed would be managed, owned and managed by the Forest Service, and lower elevations managed by Carson City. Is that kind of part of the thought process here?
The short answer is yes, but as you know, there's this rumor around that I haven't seen a piece of ground that I don't like. I don't know where that comes from. And that didn't change. When I saw this piece, I came back to the office and started talking to the boss about 300 miles per hour about the benefits of this piece. And he just specially reminded me, isn't that surrounded by the land that we are transferring to the Forest Service? Isn't that all going to be federal? And I just say, yeah, thank you for reminding me. Maybe we can stop the lands bill. anyhow, yes, the short answer is yes. It's going to be surrounded by federal.
And through the Snippleman nomination, we're looking for Carson City support, but it would be the Forest Service that would acquire this particular
parcel. We're not.
I would just like to clarify Juan's statement. The rumor is that Juan has never seen a piece of property he didn't want to buy.
Oh.
Dominique, what do you think the hallmarks of this property in terms of the Snippleman process? I mean, do we have sensitive species? Do we have imminent development? I mean, what's going to really push this over the edge?
I think it's important for the water, for Carson City, protecting Carson City's water source. I think it's important also as a cultural resource. The tribe is never very specific with me about cultural sites, but they have always said that the Clear Creek watershed in its entirety is very important to them because this was part of their travel route from the valley and up and over into the basin during those particular times of year, and they've claimed that this entire watershed is very important. So for those cultural historic purposes, for the open space view shed values, for the water protection, and for the adjacency, or well, it's not exactly adjacent, but being near to the state parks, state lands in the area as well, we wouldn't like to see this property developed. It would have negative impacts on all of those values. Admittedly, this is a tough market for development, and it's not a property that will be developed tomorrow. But mind you, this was originally acquired by developers who were looking at developing it at that time. So I think what we have is a window of opportunity. And so if the market were to come back and we didn't get this in public ownership, there's every chance that it would be developed in the future. So now's a good time to acquire it.
And who owns it currently?
High Canyon Tahoe LLC.
Is that the Schultz family?
It is not. It was previous Schultz properties, but this is not the Schultz family. To the best of my knowledge, I've been dealing with two owner representatives who are managing members within the LLC. I have not seen the documentation to see who all is part of the LLC.
Thanks. Any other questions?
That's it. Thank you.
I would move to recommend to the Board of Supervisors the issuance of a letter of recommendation regarding the Southern Nevada Public Land Management Act nomination for the U.S. Forest Service to purchase 320 acres of land owned by High Canyon Tahoe LLC located within the Carson Range.
I'll second.
Okay. Got a couple of seconds. Any other comments? Questions, thoughts? If Bruce?
I was unable to.
Didn't it? Okay, as long as it didn't affect your motion.
No.
Okay. Go ahead.
I believe that shows us the elevations of the, there's a view of the mountain with elevations.
And probably also to help you understand that, where you see a lot of the small dots in a track, where it was when they were walking around with the GPS. Is that right, Dominique?
I'm sorry, I didn't realize that was in your packet. That was a GPS track of our route during our very first visit. And so at one point, we were standing at Snow Valley Peak looking down on the two parcels. And so I had a photograph that was looking in that direction so you could see visually the hillsides and the watershed and the creek. And then we weren't exactly sure where the parcel boundaries were at that point because we hadn't been on the ground to see each of the corners. So this map in light or in tan showed the parcels, the private acreage, where they began. So when you compared the photograph to this GPS picture, those of us that were there could figure out where the boundaries were. And then the next time we went, we were able to go to each of the corner locations and actually know where the property boundaries were. So it makes it difficult, I'm sorry, if you weren't there in person or looking at the correlating photograph.
Thanks for explaining that. Okay. On the motion, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, guys.
Next item, Mr. Chairman, is an action to approve an Eagle Scout project to be conducted by Dion Coppolos on November 2nd of 2010 for the purpose of constructing trail improvements at the waterfall site located off Waterfall Road at Kings Canyon. And it seems that Dion have had a problem because otherwise he would have been here. But what Dion proposes is to construct trail. And what we're talking about is illustrated in the map in your packet. So it will the proposed trail will take off from the waterfall parking lot along an existing two-track, and then it will turn south and cross into the Forest Service parcel to the south, and then it will turn again to the north and hit the waterfall. The length of the trail is a little longer than 1,600 feet. And the reason for that, to make at least the trail that length, is to maintain a 10% or less average slope. Presently, what is there is you just walk down the road, you get to the creek, and you walk right next to the creek, and you scramble rather than walk up very steep slopes into the waterfall. The area continued to be abused by graffiti and just mostly graffiti, trash also, trash impact. So we will, part of the advice of Mark Kimbrough, who has been helping us with this project, is to open up the vegetation a little bit so it's not so secluded. And then there's a portion that needs some rock work, but the remainder of the trail, and we have by this stage, it is marked now with flag, should be able to be built in a long days of work. The more people, the better, to guarantee that we can get most of it done. We're also waiting for go ahead from the Forest Service to be on their land, but so far it appears that is happening. So all the critical issues have been resolved. It's a matter of getting enough people to build it on November 2nd.
Is there a plan to restrict access to the existing trail? Because historically, everybody knows that way up, and how are you gonna encourage people to use a different route?
Well, part of the issue is that first, I thought that most of the users will be young people, and they are. But then after having to decide on more than one occasion, I've noticed that there are families and small kids too. So if we build a trail that is easier to access, I'm very sure that those people, those users will at least use the trail that we're proposing. Then we discuss of ways and the pros and cons of decommissioning the existing trail. What I foresee people doing is doing a loop, you know, just getting there our way and then coming back the hard way. And what we agree internally to do is to first we will observe when once we build the trail and we have the signage, how do people behave? And then we'll talk again, we'll reconsider the idea of decommissioning the existing trail. It will take quite a bit of rock moving or just putting impediments to make it more difficult. One of the difficulties with that is that you don't want to create something that attracts even more the people to try to use it by making it more difficult. The rock climbers and that kind of people who like to scramble on rock. So I foresee that for a while, it will be both trails will be in use, and then we'll decide if it's worth, if it's recommended to close it, to try to close it more permanently or not.
I'd just like to say one other thing. The first hike that I took after I could hike on my foot, I went up there. So it wasn't that hard.
Really? You did it? I'm impressed.
Done good. It many times, but after the surgery, finally, I could do it.
Yeah.
Have we run this by Parks and Rec? Because this really is a trail, right? A pure trail.
It is not an 8-foot wide Bernalized trail. Mr. Jacquet will know what I'm talking about. But it is nevertheless, we use his Vern's last name as a verb now. But it is a 18-inch deck wide trail mostly with material in situ, you know, the material that we find on the place. So we don't propose to export material. And then when you get to the waterfall, there's some rocks that work that need to be done to make passable in there. Dion have contacted some people who work in rock landscapers to help him, you know, in that section. So the answer to your question, it will look much more like an open space trail than a parks trail, but yes, we have talked to the parks side about this. The parks side have provided all the expertise to clean the graffiti. They went and tried different products on the rock and determined which one works the best, and then we pay to buy the materials to go and clean it up. We should also have talked to Mr. Burnham because the land is technically under his jurisdiction. It was purchased probably purchased by Dorothy for water protection and intake, and he understands that he'll participate.
Since we have these budget sheets, I just wanted to make sure we have the right people on the budget sheets. Tricia.
Can you explain why you picked November 2nd, a Tuesday, to do this work? Is it election day? Are they off school?
It is a Saturday.
Not according to the calendar that I'm looking at. It's a Tuesday, and I'm going to the poll that day. And
what is the first Saturday in November?
6th.
That is the date.
I believe a correction might be in order to these minutes.
Yes.
Could be November 6th. Could be maybe why he didn't show up tonight. Maybe he was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I apologize.
Bruce.
I think, you know, if we can do something like this that gives a more gentle path for, you know, families and those more restricted, I think it's great. I'm happy to see an Eagle Scout project. We've had a number of them. Dion hopefully will get his dad to help him. And And I just think it's a great project. I'm glad to see it coming forward. So I would move approval of the project for the 6th of November.
I would second that.
Okay, moved and seconded for the 6th of November. Any other questions or discussion? If not, on the question, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okie doke. So.
Mr. Chairman, is this question only regarding the status of a joint transaction?
3E, Mr. Chairman, is discussion only regarding the status of a joint transaction with the V&T Reconstruction Commission towards the potential purchase of John Serpa properties, including a whole bunch of assessor parcel numbers, approximating 405 acres located in the vicinity of the Carson Canyon. I have very exciting news. Friday, I was not at work, but Roger received a phone call from Jim Lawrence, and Jim confirmed that they have found monies for us to implement this project. He is writing a letter to that effect and letting us know. He put us on notice that one of the requirements is that we have until January 31st to complete the project, and that he cannot, absolutely not, give us any more extensions or even think about it. So it is very good news. Our partner in the project, Chuck Pope with the Nevada Land Conservancy, knows aware too, or is aware, and he mentioned it to Mr. Serpa. So we also have hired our appraiser to proceed with figuring out the value on our side. That is probably the next big thing that should happen. As soon as we have the letter in hand, we'll distribute it for all members of the committee, and then we decide if we need to meet or not. But it seems that one by one, and slowly, but one by one, all the issues that were major are being resolved. Terry, I recognize that there are some issues that cannot be resolved with you, but most of those issues are being resolved.
Is Jim talking about between the V&T funds and the state lands funds, or where would it be for the full amount of what we've been talking about, ballpark, or are we going to be talking about separating this into maybe not buying all four parcels?
Mr. This is my understanding, and anyone correct me if I'm getting off. Jim, the Q1 program proposes to provide us with $1 million in grant, in addition to our 2.1, and in addition to the V&T 1.5. So the offer will remain 4.5 million, and if I remember correctly, Mr. Heaton clarified that all of the land, including the, Mr. Scott was really pointed about that, including the 30 acres on the west side of Highway 3, Carson River Road or Riverview Road, will be included. So that is my understanding. We're talking we will be able to offer 4.5, and it will include all the land. Now, again, it's subject to our appraiser confirming that that is the value of the land.
I think your math is off.
Oh, yeah?
It's 1.5 plus 2.1 plus 1. You're going to be at 4.6.
So that's the offer.
So, but everything is subject to the appraisal.
Right.
And I think that we probably should plan on whenever you know that we're going to have that we schedule a special meeting
just for that
within, what, 5 or 7, depending on what day of the week, but make it enough that we can satisfy open meeting. But let's just plan to do that. I think we've got a short time frame. We then got to have a title. We got to get this thing turned around. So we need to
move on.
We need to get it so we can get it up to the board. That's the other thing.
Right.
Because we're going to run out of daylight. Mm-hmm. So.
It has to
So it officially has to be closed by January 31st?
And that's their requirement. I don't know what Mr. Serpa, I think his, he was talking earlier. He was talking into the year, I remember from our last.
The sooner the better. Yeah.
Right. Well, I think for all of us, to determine one way or the other, sooner is better. So.
This is a little bit like the Clear Creek access. It'd be nice to get it past us.
Well, and I think we all agree. You know, the other thing that recently came down was the V&T getting an award for their work. And so, you know, I think there are lots of people who may or may not like the railroad. I think it seems to continue to have full cars and, you know, there's a historical, cultural element to that, which perhaps doesn't get its due. But the fact is we need to get it pushed down the road if it meets all of our criteria. And we know it does as a resource. So go ahead, Tricia.
On that note, have any of you ridden the train down into the canyon, Colors of the Canyon?
Terry told me not to.
I would. It gives you just a little taste of what it's going to be like, and it's really nice.
Okay, so there's no action on this, so you'll just keep pushing, but perhaps you can get an idea from the appraiser so that, you know, we can start looking at some time frames. And pushing him along is a good thing.
We already took care of 3F. We already discussed 3F. Thanks again. Now we are under, where are we? Under not action items, number 4. Anand, go ahead. What are we looking at?
About 1 week ago, Monday morning, I was up on the V&T trail behind WNC, and a hiker approached me and said there had been some vandalism on one of the single track trails up there. Several very deep holes had been dug, and he was suspecting it was maybe sabotage, maybe for the mountain bicyclists who really use this area. And this was a hiker who was concerned for their safety and everyone's safety. And from that moment, I returned to the office, started sending emails to our members with Muscle Powered and the mountain bike community. And they, of course, they were already aware of it as well. It had happened sometime on Sunday or Monday morning. So fortunately, we didn't hear about it really quick, and they were patched the next day. By Muscle Powered as well as other mountain bicyclists. And so it's great to have their involvement, another example of how they're willing to step forward to take care of the trails in our community. And also I'd like to recognize Elaine Jesse with WNC because she said if there was anything the college could do to help, just let her know as well. And these are just some of the pictures that were taken. And the reason we wanted to share this with the committee was also information for the public. If anyone sees this activity being done, these holes, please report it. Our sheriff's office does know, and this is taken serious.
Yeah, and if anyone saw this activity when it was going on, my guess is it must have occurred in the evening. But this is on the lower, it's lower than where I'm every morning. So I didn't see any of this. But there are several folks on mountain bikes mm-hmm. that are up there before the sun's up with lights on. So this could have been a real problem for somebody. So we need to pay attention to that. So, Bruce.
Is this something that we should make a point to get into the paper as an item, you know, just to raise the level of awareness and ask people to be vigilant and be aware and report anything? I mean, to me, this is really disappointing and pretty serious.
That is a very good suggestion.
Now, those guys, again, because I'm up there all the time, those guys have spent a ton of time on those trails, and they're in incredible shape. They, you know, it's amazing when they're built right. I was up there this morning after the rain. They're just good as gold. You know, they drain right. The guys do the rock work. They really know what they're doing, and I think, you know, that's what we need to encourage. And there's a lot of people using these trails. These guys built them, I know, for mountain biking, but they're used by old guys like me dragging myself up that hill. And so it's a great asset to the community, and I think the community's done a good job, and I think if they were alerted to this, somebody may have seen something suspicious out in that area. So I think it's probably important that we do that. So.
Next item, we broke ground on the Fullstone project. It's for your information. So drive by if so you can see some of the action. We're pretty excited. There's nothing to report at this point. You know, the budget is still, they haven't been lost for anything. And that's all from our side, Mr. Sherman. Is that true?
Yeah. Anybody have anything? Mike's not here.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
We're out of here. Okay.